This is a Sichuan News Update. This is part two in a two-part series covering the closure of the hub. You can hear part one of the story on our website at chy.ca/news. Just weeks away from the closing of the daytime and nighttime service hub, a local neighborhood group is concerned about what comes next.
We're really worried that it's going to be a bad summer.
That was Sydney Robertson, chairperson of the South End Community Association, or SECA. Over the last year, she has advocated on the behalf of the South End neighborhood, which she says has been dealing with the impacts of increased social disorder since the opening of the hub. The hub, a year-round drop-in center at 55 Victoria Road, accessible via the entrance on Nickel Street, was open on January 2, 2025. The space exists for street-entrenched people to access essential services and overnight shelter. Run 7 days a week, it is operated by Island Crisis Care Society in partnership with Nanaimo Family Life Association. CHY met with Robertson and South End resident MJ McGarrigle at McGarrigle's home located less than a block away from the hub. When the hub was first announced, Robertson says she brought her concerns to the City of Nanaimo, a funder of the hub's daytime services. She says SECA was told the hub would be beneficial for the neighborhood, as it would take the disorder off the streets along Victoria Road. But she says she still questioned how the project would actually work when it opened.
We immediately said, you know, that's a really nice idea, but what if that doesn't happen? Because we could see that it really might not happen that way. So we said, what's your plan if it doesn't make things better? And what's your plan if it makes things worse? And I think it was a really telling moment that all the people we were in the room with city people and agency people, there was silence in the room. I think they went in with this one optimistic idea, but the magnitude of the problem means that it's not an okay model.
She says while these services are important, a problem with the hub is that it was located in a space with a lot of other services already used by street entrenched people in their neighborhood. She also says having only one hub for the whole city is not enough to minimize the impact of social disorder.
There really needed to be multiple locations. I think Nanaimo needs at least three, but I can't see it ever being successful with fewer than two locations, no matter where they put it, no matter how beautiful the facility is, no matter what supports are included. All that, you know, needs to happen as well. But if it's one location, it's going to be horrible for whoever is living or working nearby. The businesses nearby this kind of activity are getting hit really hard as well.
She says while she regularly had meetings with service providers, the RCMP, and the city, she felt like the problems that came with the hub were much bigger than people expected.
I think the magnitude of the entire problem is just so big that when we had meetings where we were trying to ask for, you know, anything that might help, anything that will smooth off some of the edges or help with some of the problems to keep things a little more livable for people, there was just nothing else coming. I think a lot of people are tapped out.
As the chair for SECA, Robertson says a lot of neighbors would come to her with their own stories of dealing with social disorder. She says while they had numbers for the RCMP, service providers, and the city of Nanaimo for people to call if there was an emergency, she was being told by neighbors they were just tired of having to constantly make calls.
I am hearing from more and more of my neighbors that they're giving up on calling. They're tired of calling. They can sometimes feel that they've been dismissed or that they're criticized for calling in. And I'm hearing more people just not bothering anymore. They don't feel that it's making a difference. That's always been a thing that SECA's had to, you know, work to push against, to keep encouraging people to call in. But it's hard when people don't see a change, when they don't see an effect for the work they're putting in.
McGarrigle says when she got a knock on the door in 2024 from someone letting the area know about the upcoming service hub, she thought the plan sounded awesome.
And then it just became apparent, I think, that it's so much more than anyone anticipated. I don't think anyone anticipated people moving here for it. Nobody anticipated the dogs that would come with them. Like, there's just all of these sort of additional factors that nobody had planned for.
McGarrigle says she and her family tried to keep a positive mindset when the hub first opened, knowing the positives the space would offer. Then she says two situations last summer were turning points.
So one of them was There was a woman in like full-blown long-term psychosis who had this delusion that her son was being held in one of our houses. And so she came back night after night after night, just trying to get into houses and yelling and screaming the things she thought were happening to her son, which were pretty awful, and banging on doors. And it just went on night after night after night. And at one point, one of the neighbors, a new neighbor I didn't recognize, took things into his own hands and went out on the street. And I went out to try and intervene, and I realized all of a sudden that I was alone on the street with a guy with a gun, which turned out to be a replica, but my nervous system didn't know that. And it was just kind of, and the cops rolled up and they rolled out again, and it was no big deal. And we were just, I was just left reeling, being like, you know, what is happening? And I'm trying to raise a kid with an intact nervous system, and he is just waking up to this kind of like chaos, and this woman, there was no answer for her. Like, the police would come and they would arrest her, and then she would be right back the next day. Like,
McGarrigle also mentioned that there were two near dog attacks shortly after the hub opened. She says then last summer, her own dog was badly attacked by another dog. She says she received her own injuries trying to protect her dog.
There's four houses on our block, and at one point, 50% of the households had like physical injuries from violence associated with the folks and the dogs who had come to our neighborhood. And that's like, that's hard for anybody to manage and hard to raise kids in the middle of, right?
She says after these two incidents, she had to change how she spoke to her then 7-year-old son about safety.
Prior to the hub, I was raising a kiddo who was just full of compassion, right? And we would stop anytime, like since he was in a stroller, we were stopping and checking on people, and we'd hang out until an ambulance came if an ambulance was needed, and wake people up if they needed it or whatever. And he was really raised to kind of just see, like, these are your neighbors and they're struggling, and, you know, we do what we can, and a lot of compassion. And after our dog was attacked and after this woman just kept coming back again and again, in order to kind of like protect his sense of safety, we really had to shift how we were talking to him about things.
Robertson says Sika tried to support the hub as much as possible. But she says after constantly hearing stories of neighbors dealing with incidents, including small fires started on their properties, and in one circumstance, bedsheets being stolen out of a dryer inside a home, Sika couldn't continue support. But now, several weeks out of the closure of the hub, Robertson says she's worried about what will happen, as she says there's currently no plan for what's next.
Some of what we're hearing now is that we're being blamed a little bit for closing it and for the chaos that's going to come when it's closed. And that really gets my goat, because we've seen such an increase in social disorder since the hub opened. It really has become a magnet to this area. That's not on us for saying it needed to close. We had a meeting that the city held to talk about the things that they'll be doing to try to, you know, mitigate what's going on during that transition. We're worried that it won't be enough.
After hearing stories of the impact the hub had on the neighborhood, a decision was made in the summer of 2025 by Nanaimo City Council to end its funding. While some city councilors wanted to see the hub close as soon as possible, council instead voted in favor of ending funding for the hub at the end of March 2026. CHY's Joe Pugh spoke to Mayor of Nanaimo, Leonard Krogh, who voted in favor of ending the funding for the hub at the end of the month. Mayor Krogh says he's never visited the hub himself, but heard from those in the service and the delegations that appeared before City Council on the issue. He says while the service is important, so is the impact reported by neighbors.
When you hear the stories of families who have faced threats, violence, theft, garbage, litter, you cannot help but be sympathetic.
He says the City of Nanaimo has been working on finding a new space for the hub, but it's been challenging to find a new location that will cover all their needs or would even consider renting to them.
There is no question that the kinds of services needed by the folks who are on the street, the hundreds of our citizens who are on the streets, those services are needed. They're needed in communities across the province, the real issue here for council was this particular location in this particular neighborhood, which has borne the brunt of the disorder that tends to follow these kinds of services, was simply too much for the neighborhood. And
Krogh notes a letter City Council sent to the Ministry of Housing and Municipal Affairs in February 2026, asking the provincial government for more support, as council anticipates that the closure will create a strain across the city. With no other plans in place for when the hub closes, Krogh says how they will react as a city will depend on, to some extent, on how residents react to the closure. With the hub set to close at the end of the month, MJ McGarrigle says she is frustrated with how this experience went for her, her family, and her neighbors. She says she hopes this can be a learning experience for the city of Nanaimo and the service providers, so no other neighborhood will have to go through the same thing.
You ran this really difficult, challenging experience like on us in our neighborhood. And so we've learned a lot of things, right? And so who is doing that work of saying like, okay, this went so pear-shaped that we had to close it. Why? What could have been done differently? What were like the fundamental challenges that we couldn't sort out?
For CHY News, with files from Joe Pugh, this is Laura McKenzie.
This report was made with the support of the Local Journalism Initiative, the Community Radio Fund of Canada, and listeners like you. You can find more news updates, interviews, and stories from our nonprofit newsroom, as well as our news and current affairs podcast, Midcoast Morning, at chly.ca/news.